So this is Frank, and this is
Tracy,
and we're going to talk a little bit about
Cancer Support Community.
Yeah, formerly known as the Wellness Center of Arizona, of Phoenix, and I have been a supporting artist, instructor, I don't know, whatever we call me, doing drum stuff in support of that community, and it was a life changer for me. And this year, we're going to be into creating an event called Drum Strong. And Drum Strong is, we're going to have a big event and bring some drummers down in May and raise dollars for the cancer support community. And Tracy, your role at the cancer support community, and every once in a while I'm going to slip and say wellness center because it's just where I'm impacted.
That's okay.
But I'm doing better. Yeah.
I am the program director. So basically I am in charge of making sure that we provide those great direct support services for people who've been diagnosed as well as their family, friends, and loved ones.
Is it unusual to have a center where people provide support to the loved ones as well? That seems like it's a big part of, I'm going to say our mission, because I've been involved for 9 years
now.
Absolutely,
it's your mission. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
I do think it's somewhat unique. I think that it's important to recognize that when a person's diagnosed, it's not just that person. One of the things that we like to say is that the first place that cancer metastasizes to is to the family. And so it really impacts that big circle. And I think that sometimes those caregivers, those family members are forgotten about in the course of the journey, because a lot of focus is on the patient, the person who's been diagnosed. So I think that that's unfortunately a place where sometimes people don't really pay attention to the needs of the caregivers too.
One of the things I like about, I guess, slogan, tagline, I come from the business world, so every once in a while I get a little colloquial with business terms, but the tagline of, so that you don't have to go through cancer alone. I think that is so apropos, because as you're saying, if it metastasizes to the family can feel alienated and isolated, and the patient can feel isolated. And how do they commune with others that'll give them support and strength when they need it most? So, yeah. And how long has the cancer support community been around?
So we're a national organization. Here locally, we've been in the Valley for 17 years. It'll be 18 years in spring.
So nationally, you're part of...
We're part of... So we were known as the Wellness Community, as you pointed out. The Wellness Community was originally founded in 1982 in Santa Monica, California, by a gentleman named Harold Benjamin.
Yay, Cali.
Yeah.
My
and
hometown.
So... what happened is, as people discovered this great place and discovered this organization, they kind of established their own affiliates in different parts of the country. Well, when Gilda Radner, and for those who maybe don't know, 1970s comedian, actress, wonderful lady, she was diagnosed.
Rosanna Dana.
I always loved on Saturday Night Live when she would say, oh,
Never mind. And Barbara Wawa, right?
Yeah, she did the Barbara Wawa.
And she wound up marrying Gene Wilder.
Who just died this year, just a few months ago. So she was diagnosed with cancer. She actually went to the wellness community in Santa Monica and loved it. She writes about it in her book even, and talks about how important it was. Well, at that point in time, we were really only on the West Coast. And after her death, Gene Wilder, her husband, and her therapist, Joanna Bull, formed Gilda's Clubs. And so some people know the Gilda's Club, which is a very similar model to what we do at Cancer Support Community. And so for a long time, Wellness Community, Cancer or Wellness Community, Gilda's Clubs were kind of operating similarly across the nation, and in 2009 we merged together and then became Cancer Support Community. And so locally we changed our name almost 3 years ago, going on 3 years ago. But
and about how, when we say nationally, do you just kind of ballpark how many facilities out there?
There are about 50. So we're across the U.S., but we also have some international locations in Canada, one in Japan, and one in Israel, actually.
Wow, because cancer is everywhere. Everywhere.
Global issue.
When you think about, if there's one big thing that you want people to know about, well, let me leave it with one, just a few a few things. What are the big things that you, that people need to know about the cancer support community?
Well, I think first and foremost, the most important thing that we do is write in our name, we provide community. Because when people are diagnosed with cancer, they usually experience three major losses. A loss of hope, a loss of control, and an unwanted aloneness. And so I think more than anything, the best thing that we can do is provide a sense of community so you don't feel alone.
Okay.
You might meet people who could help provide that hope. You might learn things that can help provide that hope and some of that control.
Okay.
And so...
And would you say those three things for me again? A loss of
hope, a loss of control, and an unwanted aloneness.
That is so powerful. Okay. Yeah.
So I really see our mission as... our way to combat those three losses in their life.
Okay. And one of the things I think is so great is everything is free.
Right.
At no cost to the families and to the patient.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, cancer, the financial cost of cancer is astronomical for most people.
And right.
I think one of the things people don't really think about is it's not just the medications.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the actual treatments. It's, you know, every time you walk in the door, that copay that you have to pay, the travel costs that it takes to get to and from appointment. I mean, if you think about somebody who has to go through radiation, for example, let's say they do a typical course of 30 days of radiation.
Okay.
Well, that's 60 trips.
Wow.
Back and forth to that treatment facility. It's the not being able to work during that time. So, you know, income levels might vary during that time. It's a lot that really goes into it. And so we don't want cost to be a factor in them receiving the supportive services that they really need for their care.
I really do think you, we live our name in terms of the cancer support community. One of the ways that it changed me has been, I mean, I like the original word or meaning of the word miracle, which is marvelous to the eye in its root word. And in some of the event, and in every event that we do, we get to see the transformation of people saying, you know what, I look forward to being here at this event. And not just because it's our event. When I talk to people from across the cancer support community, they like being at their events because they have a place to go to. Mm-hmm. And that battle of that unwanted loneliness that you mentioned, I think that is so, so huge.
Right.
And we get to see the spirits lifted. And then sometimes for the caregivers, they'll kind of sit in the back a little bit every once in a while, but just enjoy watching the person that they're giving care for enjoy themselves and take a moment of respite and say, yeah, that's the person that I really like. So in our world where we get to do it through music and drumming, you know, it's pretty active and dynamic. But it seems so powerful in so many ways that if we didn't have places like the cancer support community, that these patients would really not have many places to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the power of that community is being able to connect people, right?
Yeah.
And so part of what we really encourage is even connection beyond the four walls that they might be in for whatever class or program or activity they're in, is to really develop that sense of community. I think it's especially important here in the Phoenix area. I don't know if other communities experience that, but I feel like the Phoenix area is a very transient community.
Oh, we definitely are.
A lot of people come, live here for a certain amount of time, then they might move. And I think we don't have that maybe same connection with our neighbors. So people are seeking out somewhere where they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, we have that wonderful home-like environment that we provide because we want people to feel like it's a home, like it's a comfortable place to be.
And that home-like environment is that office setting. I mean, when you go down there, it's a house.
Right.
You know, and you walk in and you feel like you're walking into a living room, you know, and you're not walking into a cold administrative place. It's like, you know, grab a seat, pull up a chair, and someone there is warm. There's a good sense of warmth at the facility as well. When you look back over the year, you said 9 years?
Yeah, 9 years.
What are some of how has the organization grown or some of the focus? How have we evolved from your point of view?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think any organization evolves because the cancer evolves and because all sorts of needs evolve and you learn things. So
I'm going to interrupt you too. Is this still part to consider? Remember when there's like clinical medicine, alternative medicine? How does this fit? And do we see it? Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to me about that evolution.
And actually it was in 2007, I think it was. The Institute of Medicine came out, wrote the whole report for it was cancer care for the whole patient.
Right.
And they really talked about the importance of having what we do, which is psychosocial support for cancer care as an integral part of cancer treatment. So for many years, we've been facing that obstacle of, well, that's really nice what you guys do, but really like focus on treatment, get that chemo, get that radiation, make sure you have your surgery. And all of those things are important. And I don't think that, you know, that's not our role. We're not a medical facility. And we don't discredit any kinds of treatment that people are receiving. But we are there to be an integral part of that, to do this along with your treatment. You know, the role of the person who's diagnosed with cancer is a pretty passive role if you think about the kinds of treatment that people receive. So surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, those are things that are done to you for the most part.
Right.
Although that changes a little, you know, now we have oral chemotherapy. So people are responsible for kind of administering their own in a pill form. And all good, you know, I don't think you want to be involved in your own surgery, right?
No.
But, you know,
Unless it was a really good mirror and a real steady hand,
Right. I'm going to pass. I'm going to let the experts do that piece. But I think that one of the things that people can do is feel like they're taking an active part in their treatment by participating in the types of program services that we have.
Yeah.
By, you know, being part of a music group or an exercise or learning about nutrition or meeting other people who are in the same journey and being able to share that with them.
Yeah.
And so I think it was really key when that report identified, you know, this isn't just a nice thing for you to do, but there is a lot of research about the importance of having psychosocial support in your life when you are experiencing cancer diagnosis.
Okay. Thanks for the term on that, dude. The psychosocial support is what we do to provide a firm anchor and mental foundation for people to affirm themselves and engage in their fight against cancer, and to be whole, right? And to feel connected with something.
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, not being a clinician or formally trained in that way, it seems like, you know, the wisdom of the ancients, you know, it's good to be connected to people.
Right.
It's good to have people that care. You'll feel better and you'll feel stronger. You know, it may not be chicken soup for the soul or whatever it is, but we need that strength of others when we're weak, right? And I think...
Well, and humans are not meant to be isolated animals by any means. So I think, you know, any time that you find some similarity or commonality, I mean, that's how we form friendships. Yep. That's how we gain interests, you know, the things we get involved in. Same is true with that cancer diagnosis.
And I think the fear of being alone is a really big deal because, you know, the cancer patient is, you know, they're out of control of their body. And again, passively receiving treatment, what can I do? Who can I be connected with to feel better and good about myself? And that's some of the stuff that we do. So how else have we evolved over time?
So I think we've really added a lot to the programs that we've provided. So
there's like a lot. I mean, 9 years ago, was there a lot of stuff or a little bit of stuff compared to now?
Much less than what we do now. I think much less diverse than what we do now.
Okay.
So I think what it's afforded us the opportunity to do is to look and see where are there gaps in the community and gaps in the services that are being provided. Because, you know, we are a nonprofit organization. And so, of course, we have limited resources, both human and financial.
Right.
And so we don't want to duplicate things that are already existing in the community. We just want to make sure that we're seeing where are the needs and how are we meeting those needs to the best of our abilities. So a few of the things that we've recently kind of identified. So we have a teen program.
Okay.
And our teen program is for not only the teens that have been diagnosed with cancer, but also teens who have a parent or sibling or grandparent, a close loved one who's been diagnosed with cancer. We also serve families where, you know, children are involved, obviously 0 to 18, but where a parent is diagnosed or, you know, a family member is diagnosed with cancer. We just in the last year started a Latino program, so Spanish-speaking services. There wasn't any regular in the Phoenix metro area, there wasn't any really regular ongoing Spanish support services. And
that's almost hard to believe.
Right.
With such
in
a
our
strong
community.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it took some time to do it, we think, the right way. We've made several attempts, even since I've been there, at, you know, doing like a support group. But we never really had a dedicated staff member who was going to focus on really making that happen. And so we do now.
Yeah.
And our Latino program is just like blowing up.
Really, just mushrooming,
just,
huh? Yeah.
Lots of people coming because there's such a need in that community, mm-hmm. and they feel safe, and that's what's great. You know, there's a place that people can get their needs met. Everything is provided in Spanish, so they don't have to, you know, worry about translation. Everything is culturally appropriate. So even the social activities that we do are, you know, culturally social activities. Yeah. So we had a salsa competition, and then they made those Mexican tiles one day as like kind of an art activity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have a cafecito, and they have all sorts of loteria and all sorts of really great kind of culturally sensitive and appropriate programs. Yeah.
So what I hear you saying is that part of the evolution of the last, since you've been there, is to become more diverse with programs, more outreach. And I think in my head, I want to think that our drum circle thing may have been the first off-site thing that was done. And now,
I think you're right.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere, right? Yeah. See, I take pride in that. No, when we did the very first thing away from the house, you know?
Right, away from that main area.
Yeah.
And then we also have a big focus on the West Valley because... Mm-hmm. Again, we looked at that area and saw not a lot going on, just maybe a few things. Mm-hmm. And so that's really been an area of focus, and we're going to continue to try to grow that again next year as well and add on to what we do because there's definitely a high need and a higher senior population, so higher incidence of cancer as well when that happens. So
if someone wants to volunteer or support or get involved, how does someone get involved with cancer support community?
There are so many great ways to be involved. We have lots of great volunteer opportunities. Mm-hmm. We really need volunteers actually right now because we just sat down and kind of did our strategic plan for 2017 and have a lot of great goals. We need, you know, bilingual volunteers to help support that growing Latino program. We need volunteers that are interested in working with children to help support, you know, our teen and family programs. We need administrative volunteers that might be willing to come and help us out just doing kind of office answering
stuff.
Phones and doing that kind of stuff. We need volunteers at events when we're holding larger events because we can't, you know, we can't be in every place all the time. We need volunteers that can help us with facility needs, you know, like people who are skilled and have a skill or craft to offer because as you mentioned, you know, we're in a house.
Right.
Well, our house is 108 years old. So there's definitely, you know, maintenance that goes into
carpentry,
that.
Plumbing, electrician. Right. Hey, we could use this tied down or screwed in or plugged in or something.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We need volunteers who have other talents, like, you know, all our board of directors is all a volunteer board. We have other committees that help us and share their expertise and knowledge. We need people who might help us spread the word in the community about what we do. So they're all great opportunities like that. If people are interested in supporting us but maybe don't have the time to volunteer, of course we accept financial contributions because we are a nonprofit. And what's really great is this year, for the first time, we were able to qualify as a qualifying charitable organization.
Okay.
So that means you get that dollar back on your taxes for the Arizona state taxes. So that kind of dollar for dollar credit. So it's like $400 for single, $800 for married filing jointly. That's a direct either tax break or refund back to you on
your
taxes.
So if I contribute $400 as an individual to cancer support community, hey, at that last line, I get to take it right out of my taxes.
Absolutely, on your Arizona state taxes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Woo, yeah.
That's
so
good.
We're pretty excited about that.
Is that a hard thing to get? Or I have no idea.
You know, it used to be, so there is a couple of different ones. I know there's one for schools.
Yeah.
That's kind of their own separate one. It used to be known as the working poor tax credit.
Okay.
And then they've changed some of their requirements as far as like the people that you serve and the kind of work that you do. And so by them adjusting that a little bit, we actually qualified for
that's great.
So we're really excited about that because it's a way for you as an individual to make a huge difference, no matter what you give, make a big difference in the community. But you also really get that money back. So it's kind of a great way, instead of giving it to the state, you know,
give it
to a charity.
Right.
And then you get that kind of credit back.
Oh, it's a full circle support.
Yeah.
What are there any stories? What are some of the interesting stories that you've felt or experienced as you've been in your role?
So many.
And they don't
so
have to
many.
Be tear-jerking. It might be, whatever comes to mind, you know?
I think one of the best stories, and it happens multiple times, so it's not a specific individual, but it warms my heart every single time I see it happen, is that connection that gets made when one person meets another person and they walk out the door and they start talking to each other and they become, you know, these friends that never would have happened. I mean, I remember several years ago, there was a gentleman in my group who was probably in his 50s, motorcycle rider, electrician by trade, a guy's guy,
the
right?
Doodly
you know, dude. He's a real man's man and a real kind of tough guy.
Yeah.
Same group, lovely woman who is probably in her late 70s.
Okay.
Kind of reserved, pretty quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing that, you know, if for no other reason, this is how these two people met. They probably would have never met, never socialized, never, really made that connection. But they landed in the same support group together because they were both experiencing a cancer diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing how many things they had in common.
Right.
And he even had ridden his motorcycle, you know, to group one day. And she sat on the back of it. I mean, she didn't ride it, but she sat on the back of it, kind of joked and posed. And she's like, I never have been on a motorcycle in my life, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's the ability that, cancer knows no socioeconomic status or color or language or age. And you bet that if somebody else has been diagnosed, they get you.
That's right.
And I think that's just watching those relationships happen and watching, maybe if someone comes in the door and they might be down. They're not always, but they might be down, and watching them kind of blossom and grow and kind of meet other people and really realize that they aren't alone in the journey.
That is so huge. And again, coming back to that word community, I know when we, at the end of our sessions, my greatest joy is watching people commune with one another. Mm-hmm. So the event might be over and we've made music and done some good sharing and connection, but the lingering after the session, the connecting, and you know that afterwards they're sharing numbers, sharing emails and talking and saying, you know what? Let's stay connected and we'll see you at the next one. So the event kind of becomes an anchoring point, but the connective tissue after that is what's so wonderful, you know, and that's the joy. And I've been, sometimes we get some people in some pretty powerful situations, where life is tenuous.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear many people say, you know what, this really helps it keeps me going, knowing that I have this to look forward to. And of all the things in the years that I've been with the group cancer support community, the wellness community, or the wellness center.
It was wellness community.
Okay. I never get, did I tell you I was going to mess it up all the time? I do it. What is the name of it again?
It's now cancer support community, but it was the wellness community.
Yeah.
We're still community.
Yeah. Is that to hear people say that this is keeping me alive, that this matters. And then when you're supporting individuals like that, and you know they mean it from the depth of who they are and where they are, motivating and life-changing, and it makes me want to be there, you know, and so very life-changing for me. And I really wasn't around a lot of cancer in my life, but as I've aged, obviously, and you know, and those things become closer to me, it's good to have had the experience to support, to be engaged, and have language with it, so I love supporting it.
Well, and I feel like, I'll just share, when I've come to your drum circle, you do a really great job of creating that sense of community for people, too. I mean, I watch people help you carry the drums out of the van and into the room, and everyone knows, that's what we're about. We're about community. That's the whole reason we do it. And it might be that they're coming for drumming.
Mm-hmm.
That's the activity that day. But it's not always about the what. It's really about that. What you're doing is providing a space for people to connect.
It's a safe boat. Yeah. And it's so simple in language, but it's powerful when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to do. And there's art and there's craft into. And then when people have so much burden, because everybody wants to, think that people are walking around down because they have cancer. No, they want to get out and do something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm tired of talking about cancer.
Yep.
Or I'm tired of, I want to get out and feel in control.
Yeah.
So give me a place that I can go, and if I choose to talk, I can. And if I don't, you know.
Well, I think you bring up a good point about that, because I think a lot of people have a worry about getting connected somewhere like where we are and think, oh, I don't want to be more depressed.
Right.
You know, I have cancer.
Right.
I don't want to hear everyone's sad stories. Well, you know, maybe it's just how you get connected in, because I see a lot of laughter, a lot of joy, a lot of happiness around, you know, meeting these people and getting connected in and doing things that are normal and feeling connected to other people. So.
I think it's the human experience. We want to be connected with like kind and things, commune with. To me, it's so, words almost get in the way. Yeah, you want to hang out with people who have similar interests or similar experiences. Now, they may come from different places, but you make sense of it and you create good things and get strengthened by one another. We're going to look forward to doing, again, the Drum Strong campaign to support as a fundraiser in April. That'll be in this article as well. And Drum Strong was initiated by a teenager with cancer of South Carolina. Nope, North Carolina. Scott Swimmer. And the young man was injured during a baseball game, and he found out that he had a sarcoma? I don't know. Okay. Bone cancer. And from that, a whole organization now international, there's a big drum thing that happens internationally in, I don't know, 30 countries and 40 states, whatever. I forget the numbers. But we're going to do it here in Phoenix in May. And I'm sorry, in April, and support that and raise some money for the cancer support community. So we hope that turns into a big drum event, a major event for you. So that's why I kind of wanted to get you in here and, and talk about it a little bit. Outside of the fact that it is, I support two, with my time and energies, two organizations in Arizona, and this is one of them, and I'm so pleased to be there. What else do people need to know about Cancer Support Community if they have not had to deal with it or engage? I don't have cancer, nobody else has, everybody's healthy. Why should I be involved with Cancer Support Community?
Right. Well, I think it's just being part of, like you said, someone else's human experience. Mm-hmm. And really the reality is if you haven't had cancer or know anyone who's had cancer, chances are, unfortunately, that's probably going to change at some point in your lifetime. Not necessarily that you're going to be the one diagnosed, but, you know, they're saying, you know, 1 in 3 women, 1 in 2 men are going to be diagnosed with it in their lifetime. And so, you know, I think it's not just about the cancer. If you're looking for a way to, you know, get involved in something that really makes a difference in your own community, we're a great example of that. We run 100 programs every month, all at no charge. And you can be a part of that in a direct way. You can help impact your neighbor and not even know that you're making such an impact. But I think, you know, oftentimes people go, well, I don't really know. I'd like to get connected into something in my community, but I don't really, you know, I think what we do is so important and so, you know, directly impacting all of those people that are right there in front of you. I think the gift that you give, whether it's, you know, your time or just sharing the message, you know, one day you hear somebody say something, you think, oh gosh, you know what? I heard about this organization. That does more than I think you might even realize.
And is there to volunteer, is there a special training that people have to go through? What does that happen?
So anybody who's curious about what we do in general.
Just listened to Tracy and Frank. I want to go tomorrow and do something.
Well, we invite you to come to one of our newcomer meetings. And so we hold those every single week, either in the evening or the daytime. We kind of flip back and forth. And that's a great place to get started. Or you can give us a call. So our number is 602-712-1006.
Okay.
Check us out on our website. And that's CSCAZ.org. I hate all of those letters that sound
alike.
Those are
tough ones. Yeah, those are tough.
It stands for Cancer Support Community Arizona. Those are great ways, but come and check us out and see what we're about and find out if that's something you'd like to get more involved with.
Well, let's do the laundry list a little bit. So let's say I mentioned drumming and music. Just let's rattle off some of these things that people can do.
So we have what we call our 5 pillars of service that make up our program. So part of that is our support pillar. All of our support groups are run by licensed mental health professionals.
Okay.
And therefore the person diagnosed, caregivers, diagnosis specific ones for the whole family. Then we have our healthy lifestyle activities. So that's things like our drumming and our arts and
what kind of arts?
We do clay class.
Okay.
Right now, I think that's the other big one. And then we're kind of exploring some stress management connected art types of programs. We also do, you know, Tai Chi and yoga and gentle exercise classes.
Okay.
We have cooking classes so people can kind of learn more about the nutrition side of cancer care. All great active kinds of things you can do in that area. Also led by the experts in the field. That's why you're there leading drumming, and it's not me doing that.
There you go.
then we also have education. So we provide educational lectures and seminars on different types of topics.
See, I'm thinking that's bigger than people know, right? Because we're going to think activities, but maybe for the person who gets that diagnosis, you know what? All I knew was that there was this word cancer. But now I need to really learn. So can people come down and just sit and absorb the library or the material videos and kind of
absolutely. So
get
we
informed?
Have we have a physical library. We also have a resource hallway of information, and anyone from the community is welcome to attend any of our educational lectures about about the topics that we have. So whether that's a diagnosis specific talk or if it's about a side effect management, or if it's related to something like Medicare and they're just kind of interested, everything is geared toward cancer care. But if you're curious about that topic, you're welcome to come and hear about that. And then we also have social connections. So we do things like a walking club and coloring club and bunko and book club. And then three times a year, we do these larger community events. We just had one actually last week called our Tribute Tree. Where we have a tree and people hang hearts in honor of someone who's been diagnosed or their caregiver, or maybe someone you've lost through the year. So we do three larger community events throughout the year and welcome anyone in the community who wants to know. Great places either to get involved or just to kind of check us out and see what's going on.
I kind of like the way you say diagnosed because how old am I? I'm up there now, 50-something, 55, 57, 58. Anyway, but in my early social markers, somebody had cancer. You weren't diagnosed, you had it. And then it was like a definitive death sentence. Where now it seems much more chronic and manageable on so many more levels than there than it was before. Is that accurate in how we're socially perceiving it now?
I think it's accurate not only in social perception, but in the actuality of what's happening with cancer care. So cancer care is definitely changing significantly, almost day by day, it seems like. The other term that people used to use was cancer victim, right?
So yeah,
you'd be
the
cancer victim. Right. And, you know, that's not... there are many people who are going to, you know, go through cancer treatment, be done with their treatment, and show no evidence of disease. A lot of times they don't use that cure word ever, even if it never comes back. The, a lot of doctors don't like to use that word.
Okay.
So it doesn't necessarily mean anything if you haven't heard it.
Okay.
But they like that no evidence of disease or in remission. Those are kind of the languages. For other people, it is going to be a chronic condition for them. They might live for a very long time with their diagnosis. And so some of it is learning how to cope with that.
Yeah.
You know, learning how to, you know, what do I change about my lifestyle? What's important to me now? And how do I live with the idea that this is a condition that I will live with for
and that
my
I can
lifetime.
Be empowered to live with it and not be not be done in by it, right? But to not that you I don't know, is embrace the wrong word, but I can be empowered.
Accept, I think.
Okay.
You know, accepting of the fact that that's your diagnosis and that it's going to maybe stay with you for your lifetime.
Okay. Well, as we begin to wrap up here, again, this is Tracy Thurston. And tell me the role again, the official title role.
I'm the program director.
Program director of the Cancer Support Community of Phoenix, Arizona.
Arizona.
Of Arizona. And this organization has been around since...
1999 in the Valley.
In the Valley. And in the mid-80s, did I hear you say? Or
82. It was
in
first
Los Angeles.
Established in in Santa Monica.
And through that organization from Santa Monica, along with similar organizations that were, was the Radnor House, right? Or Gilda's Club. From Gilda Radnor. And those two organizations merged a few years back, 7-8 years ago now, maybe?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, yeah. And from that has become the Cancer Support Community, where the real focus is in the essence of that word community, to commune and to create opportunities where caregivers and patients have the opportunity to come and engage with one another and to be mutually supportive and become empowered and strengthened so that they can... support one another and live with this diagnosis and the disease as best they can, and certainly not alone. And there are five pillars. I love that. What are these five pillars again?
Support, mm-hmm. healthy lifestyles, education, social connections, and resource and referral.
And within those five pillars, there's opportunities for people to volunteer, to support, to engage, and to make a difference in the community, whether it's 1 hour or many.
Mm-hmm.
We look for those supporters. And parting comments, what would you like to say?
You know, I think that we'll have met our mission today mm-hmm. if someone hears about it and thinks, you know what, I know someone I can tell about this great organization, because that's the very first step, you know, okay. is that word of mouth in the community. And so certainly if anybody is being impacted themselves, we invite you to join us and see what we're about and see if we're someplace that you'd like to be part of our community.
Are people afraid to join? You know what?
Sometimes.
Nibble on that. Is that a big deal?
Yeah, I think sometimes people, I mean, I think it takes a lot of courage to walk through the doors the first time. You know, there's a sense of vulnerability that you have in saying, I'm here. You know, there's a sense of reality that I think, you know, that people go, I guess it's me acknowledging that I have cancer. Mm-hmm. And it's me saying, I don't want to do it alone. I'm walking in the doors and I want some help. I want some support.
That's a big deal.
I think it takes a lot of courage, you know, for that person to pick up the phone or or walk through the door the first time and kind of find out what we're about. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people get afraid that it's going to be depressing, which it certainly, as you know, is not.
No,
but I
not.
Think people have that perception that, that it might be a sad place to be.
Yeah, but it's definitely not that. No. It's an engaging and enlightening place for you to be strong and empowered. Tracy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll put this up on the website, send you a copy if you want it. And
terrific.
We'll go from there. So Drumstrong's coming in the spring. We say spring. I don't even do. It's coming in April. So see you soon.
Thank you.
You bet.